Hey y'all, it's time for another episode of Yo Loretta Late Night, hosted by me, your girl, Sarah Loretta, aka Lil Peach. I'm a hip-hop head, story explorer, and the owner of 99 in St. Clair, a creative studio that helps develop badass brands for badass people. Here on Late Night, though, no topic is off limits, and I'm even bringing in some of my friends to push that envelope and have an honest conversation about their journey to hopefully inspire yours. With so much magic and inspiration everywhere, it's my mission to help your creativity thrive by spending less time Googling and more time actually developing your brand. So are you ready? Grab your coffee, get comfy, and let's dive into today's episode. I am here with the amazing Brooke. She is the owner of the Swoozy dating app, and she's local here to Austin, which is awesome because Austin people are the best. Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for this conversation because I feel like the dating world is just very interesting. And so I'm really excited to get into this conversation, specifically in our community. But before we jump into what you're doing now, I love with all of my podcast episode guests to really start at the beginning. So where did you grow up? How did you grow up? Let's go through all of the trauma of childhood.
Oh, that's deep. So I am an Austin native, which you mentioned, which is today, I guess, kind of a rare breed. I meet people all the time who say I'm quite the unicorn.
Yes, I love calling people unicorns because there's not many of you anymore.
Yeah, I did leave. I did leave for a while and I came back. So I have not always been here. I've been back for about 11 years now. Before that, I moved out to Colorado for a little while and San Francisco, but Austin is definitely my home and I love it. And I'm pretty excited to see all of the growth and new people here. And I know that's a little controversial as well, not loving the traffic, but yes. Glad to be back in Austin for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess growing up here, I had a pretty normal childhood. People ask me all the time, being an entrepreneur now, was I always that way? And the answer is yes. Okay. I can remember back to being, 6 and 7 years old and transitioning the lemonade stand to painted rocks and, beaded bracelets and anything I could think of. And, always trying to find new services to sell around my neighborhood. And I think that some people are born with that and take that with them throughout their whole life. But, I grew up in Austin. I went to Westlake High School.
Okay.
My mother was a teacher in the AISD district for close to 30 years. Mm-hmm. And God bless her, most of that was with kindergartners. But I think, we're all hit with different twists and turns that kind of make us who we are. And early on, my mother had breast cancer, and that was a big thing that happened in our life when I was about 9 years old, and helped her through that. She's a survivor, obviously. I shouldn't say obviously, you don't know if she's here, but she's a survivor, and watching her go through that was really difficult, but taught me a lot at an early age of how to step up and how to help and care for somebody. And later on, when I was in middle school, she actually had a brain tumor that was life-threatening. She survived that as well. It wasn't cancerous, but it was, something that was a 20-hour surgery to remove and left her having to learn how to walk again, eat again.
Oh, my goodness. And I am so sorry your family went through that.
Yeah, those things, and everybody hits those kind of eye-opening things that happen in their life. And when she had her brain tumor, she and I lived together. This was during high school. My parents were divorced. And so again, I was in a scenario where really had to kind of step up, grow up quickly and help her through that, get jobs early. And she retired from disability, but it was an experience that I always look back on that's really made me who I am now and made me such an independent person, but also, you know, pushing to do more and really pushing myself to see what I can do at every different point, even with faced with experiences like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Kind of from multiple angles is, you know, you kind of have that divorce element where you're in multiple different personalities, depending on what day of the week you're in, right? Like my parents have been divorced since I was a baby. And so I went back and forth and just those personality shifts were an interesting environment to be in. But then also, like you said, like being forced to grow up early because you don't know what the next day brings. And I think when you're in those kind of situations, it just kind of makes you look at the world so much different, not only from like an appreciation standpoint, but it also makes you realize that like this everyday routine that we think is normal really isn't fulfilling. Yep. And you have to figure out how to really fulfill yourself in the short amount of time that you may or may not have, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think it's also interesting hearing that you grew up kind of just selling whatever you could and creating whatever you could. Cause I'm very similar in that space too, is I remember I was in the fourth grade and me and my friends started a crayon fixing business and we would literally just tape people's crayons and like make 10 cents off a crayon.
That's awesome.
Oh my God. But you really like when you love money, you like it in your hand, you will really do anything that you can.
You know?
So
that's so funny.
So taking all of that kind of into perspective, what did you think your future was going to look like? You know, in high school, did you know you were going to go to college? Did you have a set plan? Was entrepreneurship in that plan? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, it's funny because so many people ask young kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. And I always hated that question. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an answer. I didn't know. I wasn't going to be a dancer, an astronaut, a doctor. I didn't know yet. And part of that was intimidating to me to not have that answer. I felt like, should I know? Mm-hmm. And even, you know, even when going to college and having to choose a major of what I wanted to do, I feel like kids today should really get a lot more guidance of what's out there and what their options are and be able to try it out a little bit and fail and find what they like before they have to make those decisions. But, you know, there was a point where I didn't know. I always wanted to go to college. I always saw myself going to college, but I was extremely nervous that wouldn't happen from a financial standpoint. You know, my mom was a teacher. We didn't have a ton of money. I couldn't imagine how we were going to pay a tuition, you know, that was $50,000 or whatever it is now. But I, you know, I ended up, when I was in high school, I actually experienced some health problems of my own. And I missed almost an entire year of school that I had to make up.
Oh, wow.
And they put me, and we were trying to figure out, you know, what was going on, but the school was great. They put me in a self-paced program. And what was interesting about that is I ended up not only making up the year that I missed, but graduating early. And I graduated high school in 3.5 years.
Wow.
And I ended up going to college. I went to Fort Collins where my brother was living at that point, applied to Colorado State. It was the only school that I applied to. I got into the business school.
Amazing.
And I just took it day by day. And I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to make it happen. I got in. I didn't find a bunch of grants or scholarships, so I got a few jobs. I got accepted into a work study program. Mm-hmm. So pretty much from 8 a.m. to 11 o'clock at night, I was full force school and multiple jobs. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, you know, financing my own college and graduating in 3.5 years again.
Oh,
so it was one of those things where I didn't always have a plan, but everybody gets, you know, I guess nervous about what the next steps are, but I just, I started just taking things day by day and really seeing what can I do and what can I make happen. And time again, I saw the results of just being open to that and trying new things. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what brought me, you know, from childhood all the way through college. Mm-hmm. And then from there, started looking for internships, and some people have connections. That's another thing. You know, you hear people have connections to their dad's work, or they know all of these people that can get them a job. And I wasn't in that position. And so again, that was a point of like, well, where do I go from college? Mm-hmm. And just kept my doors open. And, you know, I continued to advance and find internships and find what I love to do. And that kind of started my path.
Yeah. I love all of that. Cause you and I, it's so interesting that just how this podcast has connected people together is really just, it's so fascinating because our stories are so similar. And yeah. For me, I feel like I grew up, and even up until like a few months ago, I feel like I was a unicorn because I didn't have connections. I went to college because that was what you were supposed to do, but I couldn't afford it as a first gen college student. And similarly to you, I spent that time at Texas State. I spent that time just literally opening up myself. Like people who say I talk to the universe, I just let my life in the universe hands. That's what I did. And I feel like when you do that, when you're not necessarily on a path, you know, so to speak, like I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer, I feel like your experience and your exposure just grows like tenfold, you know?
Yeah.
But the downside to that is student debt. And so you can't explore as much as you want, which I agree with you that kids these days really just, I don't know. I don't think that there's enough support in exploration with kids from early on until then. And so I think people who are creative and who are entrepreneurs, people look at us as like intimidating, or that maybe we have too much on our plate. But really at the end of the day, it's like we just love stuff. You know what I mean? So for college for you, how was that? Did you, when graduation came around, I'm curious, did you hit a burnout phase, or were you so kind of just like gung-ho ready to go that didn't faze you?
Well, I was ready to move on to my next chapter. I felt very excited and proud that I was, you know, finished. Mm-hmm. I really didn't see an option to stop and take a break.
Okay.
But, you know, everybody can take a break. Mm-hmm. It's how you do it. I just, you know, that wasn't something that I was considering. My best break that I did take, actually, this was pretty smart, I think, is I saved my last two elective credits for a study abroad program in Spain.
Cool.
Which I convinced the school to allow me to do the summer after I technically walked the stage and graduated. And pending I passed that course while I was in Spain, they mailed me my diploma. And so I did get to go to Spain for 6 weeks after college, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And
where in Spain did you go?
So I mainly spent my time in Sevilla.
Okay.
Which I loved. I had never been abroad before. I'd been to Mexico. That was, you know, the most international travel I had done. Right. And so for me, this was, you know, it was a fantastic experience. I got to do it through school. That was interesting because while I was out there, I had, you know, so many thoughts in my head of what could life be like if I just didn't go back, and I ended up living in Spain. It's scary. And, you know, that was 15 years ago when there weren't, you know, cell phones and social media all over the place. And, you know, it was like I was calling the international office in Spain to set up these classes. And actually I got there and I found out the class that I needed for that last credit to graduate was not offered during the program. Something happened and not enough people signed up. So
said
you could take the beginner Spanish class. I'm like, well, no, I already took that. I can't, that credit will not allow me to graduate.
Right.
And so there was a little bit of a freak out moment. But I ended up working with the administration, and they allowed me to be in a Spanish for business class, which counted for my credits. But, you know, it's like, okay, what do I do now? I'm literally in Spain. I had, at that point, all of my stuff was being shipped to San Francisco because my ticket back was going to be to San Francisco. I decided that's where I wanted to live when I got back.
Okay.
And so all of that was en route. I didn't have an option to go back to Fort Collins and finish. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, I worked it out. We figured it out. But I think things like that, you know, it's like you're going to have surprises throughout your life, but it's just how do you maneuver around it and figure out how to make it work and not have it completely shut you down, because something like that can be very scary. And life moments like that always occur, and especially, you know, entrepreneurship, starting businesses, or even being an established company, there's always going to be things that you didn't expect, or they, you know, they weren't what you thought they were going to be, or, you know, maybe you want to change directions mid-path, but, you know, I just kept trying to figure out how to move forward.
Exactly. And that's really all you can do. And I think when life throws you curveballs, you know, things just, you got to figure it out, and things work out one way or the other. It's not the end of the world, you know, if that's the case, you can figure it out. If you had to have gone back to Fort Collins and, you know, done another semester, at least you got to go to Spain, you know? As an entrepreneur, it can get a little overwhelming trying to figure out what equipment and tools are best for your business, especially when you're first starting out. My office space, or apartment cubicle as I like to call it, has become fully equipped with everything I need to launch and grow 99 in St. Clair. And now you can grab all of those things for yourself. From podcast microphones to the coffee I brew that helps me stay focused, we even have Squarespace templates and branding kits to get your business up and running by the end of the week. You'll also find amazing discounts to try out platforms like Canva and Flowdesk in there. Inside the 99 in St. Clair store, we've got everything you need to help your business become a showstopper. So quit wasting time digging through Amazon and Pinterest to figure out what you need. Instead, head on over to www.99stclair.com/shop to start building your creative space today. So when you did come back, how did you get into the tech world? So you got a business degree, right? And
My degree was in marketing, actually.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Which is a business degree, but my focus area was marketing, not technology, actually, to begin with.
Okay.
And I went out to San Francisco without a job, which I would not recommend for anybody.
Yeah. Even back then or now.
Yeah. I was very poor. I went out without a job when I was graduating college. I said, okay, well, what do I want to do next? I had a couple of internships during college that were with an advertising agency. Okay. And I found through those internships that I really loved advertising. It was exciting for me. It was fast paced. It was fun. There was a whole, you know, breadth of things that you could do, from event promotions to in-store advertising, more of the traditional TV, print, all of that. Like there was enough to keep me interested and focused in that career space. Mm-hmm. But that's what I decided I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, well, I want to pick a big city. I've always wanted to live in a big city. I am from Texas. I can't stand the cold. So it's not going to be, you know, Chicago or New York.
Right.
And people had told me the weather in San Francisco was mild, which I would argue it is cold.
It is cold there.
But it is freezing. Well, I thought it was freezing. So I chose San Francisco, and I went out there without a job. I had started sending out resumes while I was in Spain. And I thought for sure I would get something by the time I moved there, which was, you know, I was young and just thought everything was going to come together, and it didn't. And so I'm out there, you know, there's San Francisco prices. I racked up credit card debt my first couple of months while I was out there. I, you know, was selling office equipment door to door to businesses that I was hoping I would work for one day.
Yeah.
And I just did what I needed to do while I continued to apply to all of these companies and try to make some connections, right? Because I didn't have any connections out there. And it was the first moment where I was really faced with, well, how do you get to know people who are going to help you get a job or support you? And it's just, you know, I found that you just got to keep calling and showing up and talking to as many people as you can. And ultimately, I did end up getting a job with a really prestigious agency out there, BBB Worldwide. And that was, you know, a fantastic experience. starting out with that company. Mm-hmm.
So question for you, for those who are listening, who are trying to break into an industry or maybe, you know, aren't necessarily in a city that they know or have the meetup opportunities like Austin does now, and I'm sure San Francisco does now, but what would you recommend people do? Because I feel like in some experiences, when you're trying to make connections, it can come across as being very selly and just very one-sided. Yeah. So what advice do you have for people who are trying to make new connections?
Well, I mean, there's a few. Obviously, the internet has opened so many doors up for communities that you can reach out to and say, hey, I'm new in this city. This is what I'm looking for. I mean, you can do that online. You can meet people online. You can join those communities. Also, you know, there are all kinds of workshops and free things that you can join where you show up to a group of like-minded people, whether that's design or whether it's, you know, technology or development. There's all those things that exist today that if you just find them and show up, that's your tribe. That's your initial tribe of people that are going to help you. And at what I have found most is, yeah, the outreach that is really salesy, you know, can you connect me or here's my resume, here's what I'm looking for, sometimes shuts a lot of doors for you versus opening it up to ask people for feedback and guidance. And it's amazing how much people want to help and how many connections happen through just saying, I don't even know what I'm doing out here. I don't know anybody. If you have feedback of, you know, someone I should be talking to or where I should go, then it's amazing. You know, that people will give you so much information and really help connect those dots for you.
I agree. And I think to build off of that too, follow-up is so important. I hate when people ask me for advice or info and then they don't follow up. You know, because it's like, if we're going to take the time to share, you know, at least be, you know, continue the conversation.
Your appreciation and gratitude, and also that you're passionate about whatever it is that you're seeking help on.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I feel like too, like maybe more so in San Francisco than here is, you know, in there's Google and Facebook, and people just look at those companies as like, I want that on my resume, but they really don't take the time to learn about the company. How was that experience for you? Did you, once you actually got into the advertising space, was it what you thought it was going to be? Did you love it? Did it make you want to change course? What was your first, I guess, career path like?
Yeah, no, I absolutely loved it. I started out at that company actually in a newer department that they were just helping or getting established. And from being in a smaller group like that within a large agency, it was great because I got a lot of responsibilities that it was kind of sink or swim. You know, what I realized early is that even when you complete college, you have no idea what you're supposed to do in the day-to-day. Other than, obviously, if you're a doctor or a specific trade where you have, you know, very exact training for what you're going to be doing. But for the area of like marketing or business, it sets you up with a foundation to where you can learn, you know, you set yourself up to be able to self-educate and to learn. And, you know, being in that environment was really great because I had all these new responsibilities and I was able to kind of tackle them head on and figure out how to get things done. And there was a lot of visibility to the work that I was doing. And so people saw, hey, you know, there's this 21-year-old here and she's doing an awesome job. And before I knew it, I was getting promotions within my first year. I was able to tell them within that company, hey, I want exposure to different things outside of this department. Can I transfer over to this department? And they supported that.
That's amazing.
I just have an open conversation, and some people are afraid of that. Oh no, I might lose my job if I tell them I'm interested in a different area of the company. And in fact, most employers, good employers, will say they want to cultivate your growth in your career, and everybody wants their employees to be happy, because if you're not happy with what you're doing, you're probably not going to be performing well. And while I was happy with what I was doing, I still was so curious about all these other areas. So I loved that I was able to, you know, get experience in different areas of advertising. It is something that I felt, man, I really landed in a place that I love. I was excited about it. And I saw all kinds of opportunities. DDB being a worldwide agency, I thought, hey, maybe that'll take me back to Spain. Maybe I can go abroad again and work for this company.
Right.
I ended up actually coming back to Austin after a couple years in San Francisco due to family reasons. And while I wanted to continue to pursue advertising, one of the biggest agencies here had just laid off half their staff. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of where I thought I would land. And so I kind of just opened my eyes to what else is out there. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across an early stage company within financial technology.
Okay.
And I took a job mainly to just take the job while I kept looking, and ended up absolutely loving being part of an early stage company and going back to kind of that entrepreneurial side. What I really liked about this company, it was called Bankview at that point. And this kind of leads into the next chapter of my life. But what I really loved about this company is that they had a mission to help community banks and credit unions compete against big banks that had all the resources and were just, you know, taking these little banks out one by one. And when you look at the research, you see community banks are getting shut down, bought out, and they really have been the backbone of the U.S. economy for, you know, as long as we can remember, with supporting small businesses. Mm-hmm. So I really got behind their mission and the leadership within that company. It was such a David and Goliath story. Mm-hmm. And what I saw with that company is that they had a software solution that was great, but they had nobody doing marketing. Mm-hmm. And they looked to me as being that person that could come breathe that life into their company and really take it to the next level. And so it was a challenge I was really excited about. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, going back to not all startups are cool at the beginning, you know, it's such a startup culture now here. Mm-hmm. But back then, I remember telling my friends, God, I just came from this great agency in San Francisco, and I don't even know if I'm working for a real company. you know, we were in an office that had people's like old furniture from their home in there, and you would trip over a wire and all the phones would go down. It was quite a different experience.
Yeah. But I think, like, kind of going a little bit full circle back to your childhood of really just creating something from scratch, that's what you joined, was creating something from the ground up. And so with the startup culture back then, was there a lot of potential like there is now within community support of other startups? What really got you to keep going in this field?
I stayed with that company a lot because of the leadership, that had started the company. And even, you know, there were times where I wondered, you know, is this thing going to really grow? And the passion and the belief and the energy that the leaders had behind what they were doing and what this could result in just was so energizing for me. And I felt a part of their team, and I felt a mission behind what they were doing to make things work. And so I got really excited about, you know, I was brought in to essentially research and develop a consumer brand for the software that all of these small community banks could market together. Mm-hmm. So in a cooperative fashion. And, you know, this is back when Electric Orange from ING came around, Keep the Change, Way to Save. So, like, banking products started being branded, and people started going to financial institutions for those products. So what I was doing was creating that brand for the community banks, and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I had worked on established brands with $20 million budget, you know, and I had no budget, and we were really just starting from nothing. And what was really exciting is that through that experience, I, you know, launched an initial brand in 11 markets with, I had one other counterpart that was a key person in that. And we saw tremendous results. And so we put together plans on how to expand it nationwide, how to help the sales team, get this to all of the other community banks. And ultimately, that brand is nationwide now. It's got several million account holders. And I was part of growing a team of two to over 200 people now. And it was, it was really exciting.
So taking the excitement out of it, how did the recession hurt or I guess maybe help at all with this business?
Yeah. Well, first off, I would say all of my friends and family said, what? You're going into financial services in 2008? What are you talking about? You know, it was like the worst time that I could switch into an industry that was, you know, crumbling at that point. But again, it was that challenge. It was the David and Goliath that I loved getting me into that company. And then it was, we're going to launch this brand and we're launching it when there's all of this, you know, frustration and turmoil going on in the industry. And instead of being deflated by that, we chose to take that as an opportunity and to join in the conversation of what was going on in finance and use that to highlight, you know, why community banks were so great. And so you can't do anything about what's going on, and the economy is the economy, and we're always going to have, you know, ups and downs. And the approach that we chose to take is how do we use this to our advantage? And it did work, actually. It was something really fantastic for us to really connect with the people on.
Absolutely. That's amazing. 'Cause I feel like had I made the decisions that you did in the recession, now mind you, I was in high school, so I don't really know much about the economy then, but especially in 2008. Yeah. But for me, I feel like I would have been on the same side as your family of like, what are you doing? Like jobs are so few and far between. Like, why would you take the riskiest thing? Yeah. But looking at it from your perspective, I feel like this was yet again, another stepping stone for the legacy that you're now building for yourself and leaving behind, because it shows that you were able to really like get into the nitty gritty and put your head down, do what you got to do to build a life that you're excited about. So,
I mean, it was hard. I was working 20 hour days, you know, early on my career, but one, I found something I was passionate about. Secondly, I kept in mind like the result that my work could have, which to me was really motivating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the time I was 25, I was in an executive position. Mm-hmm. So it was really exciting to fast forward my career so much. But it didn't, you know, it didn't just happen. I had to spend a lot of time kind of self-educating, like I said, and figure out how to do this job and how to perform at different levels the way the company needed me to as they grew.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that is so important too, right there, is when you are early in your career, or, you know, maybe thinking about switching, is like, how can you grow alongside a company that you're either still working at or you're looking at working for? Is what does their mission or 5-year plan look like, and how do you fit into that? And I think a lot of people early on in their career, they just see a paycheck. They don't see longevity. And so being able to self-actualize that, I think, is really important. The Legacies Podcast will be right back after we grab a quick cup of coffee from our friends at Cooper's. You guys know I have coffee with every meal and pretty much drink it every hour of the day. But buying coffee from the grocery store can get pretty boring pretty fast, which is why I'm subscribed to Cooper's Single Origin Coffee Box, because no matter what, I have an adventure in every single brew. Roasted in New England, Cooper's brings flavors from around the world right to your front door, and their subscription box allows me to taste test new flavors, like fresh scents from Ethiopia and rich caramel flavored beans from Rwanda, whenever I start a new pot of coffee. But personally, y'all know how much I love dark chocolate, which is why the Sumatra blend is my favorite. So, quit drinking that same old unexciting coffee and grab your own subscription box today. As a listener, you'll even get 10% off your first order to try all of the roasts for yourself to pick your favorite. Just head on over to cooperscoffeeco.com/thelegacies to get started. Now, back to the show. So let's talk about what you're doing now.
Yes. So fast forward on that, we got with that company, we got to the point where, like I said, I was managing a huge department, and my job became, you know, I had 120 hours of pre-booked meetings on my calendar each month, which is 100% of a normal work week.
Yeah.
And I was doing a ton of personnel reports and reviews, and it wasn't what I was enjoying anymore. And so I left and didn't know what I wanted to do. And I started consulting for the next 6 years. And which I loved, you know, it's hard going out and getting new business, making those connections, figuring out, okay, I now am on my own. Oh my gosh, maybe I won't get a paycheck. What do I do? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I looked at all the ways I could get out there and I could meet people and, you know, explain how I could help. And I ended up doing consulting for some startups in Austin, some medium-sized companies, kind of across all industries, sports media, software, again, consumer packaged goods.
Cool.
And I did a couple of annual contracts with Charles Schwab as well, back in finances. But what I realized during that path is what I still was enjoying was the entrepreneur side and the small companies where I really could help them translate a big vision into every single small step that needed to happen. And with executing those small steps, see exactly the result of the labor, you know, and that to me was satisfying. And some people love being at large companies and getting a stable paycheck. And for me, not being able to see exactly the result of what I'm doing is just not motivating for me on a daily basis to be spending so much of my time doing something. So, while I was consulting, the idea of Swoovie, which was not Swoovie at that point, came up in conversation with some friends, with single friends, and over again, like you said, there are interesting stories about online dating and experiences that people have. And there's a lot of frustration. Like it's a market that's grown tremendously over the past handful of years, really. I mean, people, when it first started, people were shy about saying they were on a dating app. It wasn't, you know, widely talked about. And today it's so mainstream. It's normal. It's like, hey, which five are you on?
Right. And have you swiped left today?
Yeah. And so, but this conversation kept coming up of like, oh, I'm so frustrated with the people that I'm meeting. Like, I really want to meet a genuine person. I don't know if these profiles are real. I don't know if they're genuine. I've talked to somebody, you know, for weeks now we've chatted, and then I went to meet them, and within 30 seconds I knew they were not a match. And if you look to guidance on how to, if you're single, how to meet a good person, dating experts over and over again say volunteering. And it was kind of one of those like aha moments where, well, why hasn't anybody married this new technology with that recommendation to go volunteer? It totally makes sense, right? The way people that used to develop relationships organically is meeting in person. And there are some apps out there who get people to meet in person, or they're trying more. But it's like with technology, we've made things easier, but we've also stripped away that natural human connection that has to happen. Right. I mean, you meet up with somebody and right away, either, you know, their voice, their mannerisms, there's so much more that plays into it than just a profile picture. So I got obsessed with this idea of volunteerism as a date because, one, you hopefully weed out some of the not so genuine people who are not wanting to go on a date volunteering. You know, no guarantees, but that makes sense that you would focus on a more quality group of people. You're also going on a date where you're in a group environment, which feels, you know, a little bit, takes some anxiety off of meeting a stranger somewhere. And you have things to instantly be icebreakers and talk about because you're doing something together. And if the person that you're with maybe isn't so great at conversation, you have other people around you that you can talk to. So like every angle of it I thought was so interesting. And, you know, ultimately my background in marketing and advertising, one huge piece that really energized me that I loved was the psychology behind, you know, what makes people do what they're doing or what makes them buy what they're going to buy. Mm-hmm. And that was very interesting to me when applying this whole balance of introducing people through a dating app and then getting them to volunteer together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, especially in our community. You know, I'm not on dating apps, but when I was, it was really infuriating because I'm not a heavy drinker. I don't like happy hours unless there's food involved. But like for me, like that's not something that excites me to go and meet someone new. And that was always my frustration, is that's all people wanted to do was go grab a drink. And I think I love your dating app. And I think if I was single, I would totally be on it, because I think it also, like you said, it takes that pressure away from having to constantly keep the conversation going. But also I think when you're put in a situation that is your natural environment, right? If you guys are going to volunteer at Austin Pets Alive and you're around puppies for 2 hours, like that shows who you really are and really shows like your you and your a natural space, you know, and neutral space too. You know, it's not like, I don't know. I feel like everyone knows someone who works at a bar here. And so it's like, if you, you pick Blind Pig on 6th Street, like you're going to know people there, and then it becomes one-sided versus, you know, a neutral territory, you know? So
it also takes away the pressure of having to pay for anything. That's always something that comes up in dates too, is like, oh, are they going to pick up the bill? And there's a lot of pressure, you know, for people that go on all these dates and be spending all this money. And so it's, you know, it's just one more thing, is just go out and take all, strip away all this pressure, just really get to know, you know, get to know who you're meeting up with. And it might not always be the perfect match. A lot of the time it's not, but if you're volunteering together, you can leave still feeling like you did something good with your time. It wasn't a waste of a couple hours, with somebody that what didn't, you know, fit with you.
Exactly. And I feel like this is a great platform because so many people in Austin, so I did AmeriCorps. That's how I came here. So I I did 2 years of STEM education in Title I schools. And I've met so many people in my time. Maybe it's because I just attract them. I don't know. But I meet so many people that are like, I did AmeriCorps too, or I came here for FEMA, or I came here for, you know, volunteering. And so there's such a big community of that too. And in the startup culture, you get days off and time off to go volunteer. So it's like, if you fit in a date while you do it, why not?
Yeah. And a lot of companies now offer free, or not free, paid time off to go volunteer, because they want you to volunteer. So it's like, hey, why not kill two birds with one stone, get paid to go volunteer and go on a date?
Exactly. So in doing your research and creating a dating app, what were things that you, taking the volunteer aspect away from it, but like really thinking about like the matching component, what were some things that you came across that you didn't love that other apps were doing that you wanted to improve and change with your app?
Well, I mean, the main thing is connecting people through shared interests. And, you know, it's up to the users. It's up to the people who are on these apps to kind of create their own journey, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's only so much babysitting you can do. And, well, I mean, what we try to do is make it super easy to find people through shared interests, whether, you know, we give you the daily matches, potential matches that meet your profile preferences. But, you know, one thing that I always kind of relate that to, and I have disliked about dating apps, is that, let's say you go onto HomeDepot.com to buy something for your kitchen, right? You see like 1,000 options, and then you're like, oh, I want, you know, a granite kitchen counter. I want it to be white. I want it to be 2 inches thick, blah, blah, blah. You dwindle down, there's like 2 results. And at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I don't like any of those, but you can back out of it. You can back up and go look at those other options. Within dating apps, you can't. And back to the way dating used to be, you didn't, people would say, oh, I think I'm going to end up or marry someone who's this height, who's this whatever. They almost never do. And so what you think you want is not, it closes so many doors when you just stick to those specific preferences and don't, you know, keep your eyes open and look outside of those things. So back to Swoovie, what we really wanted to do is like, okay, here's your preference choices and here's your results on a little plate for you. However, here is our event calendar of all these volunteer opportunities, and we allow people to say whether they're interested in each of those volunteer activities. Mm-hmm. So you can then see the pictures and the profiles of everyone interested in that type of activity, and you can choose to match that way. So maybe you accidentally eliminated somebody, but you're like, oh my God, that person also likes walking dogs, and I'm an animal lover, and I'm free on Thursday at 4. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, invite them that way to go connect. And we hope that that'll cultivate and get people out of this very narrow view of just looking at a profile and swiping past it.
I think it's so interesting because when you take those physicalities out and you really just focus on interests and shared commonalities, your dating pool grows so much. And really, like, taking like race, religion, all of that out of it, it's just mainly on conversation, I think is such a fascinating idea.
And a little sneak preview or announcement, you said that if you were still single, you would you would try out Swoovie. We've had so much feedback from people who are in relationships who have said, oh my gosh, I love this app. I wish I could be on it. Wait, I mean, I don't mean on it because I'm in a relationship, but I would love to use this because I want different types of meaningful dates for me and my significant other as well. And we, you know, I'm sick of the same dinner date night where we're, you know, struggling for conversation, and we've always wanted to do something in community, but it's so hard to find where the opportunities are and how you sign up and blah, 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 blah. So we have created a couples experience.
Cool.
That is actually launching this next week.
Okay.
So that will be something to look for with Swoovie if you are a couple or you know someone in a couple to help, you know, strengthen relationships and also, you know, give back, because at the end of the day, we're all, this whole angle helps nonprofits who are dying to get more volunteers in the door. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I love that. And so by the time y'all are listening to this episode, this experience will be out and you'll be able to try it, which is amazing. And I know Jesse and I are probably I'm going to make him do it because, so question for you about Swoovie. I know it is Austin based, but are you guys planning on expanding to other cities? What does the next year look like for y'all?
Yeah. So, you know, we launched Swoovie in Austin as a beta to see, you know, do people like it? And they do, and nonprofits love it and love this new angle to tap into more people to come volunteer for them. So what's next in startup world is getting investment. And so we've been working on, you know, again, brand new world for me. So starting at where do you go meet investors? And at this early of a stage, you know, who are those people that will write you a check? So we're having those conversations now. So within the next year, we plan on growing within Austin. We've actually done very minimal advertising here. It's all been a lot of word of mouth growth. And we plan on, you know, amping that up as well as going into probably 3 new cities in the next year.
Cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you guys have had a lot of easy recognition from the news stations and from a lot of our publications, which I think people really underestimate. Again, going back to your early career, just the power of print advertising, whether that's technically video or audio, but the power of organic advertising. And hearing that you guys are growing without really paying for ads, I wish we could like scream that to the rooftops, because so many first-time entrepreneurs I talk to, it's like, oh, I have to have a budget for ads. I have to pay for Facebook ads. And it's like, you really don't. You just need someone to believe in you to tell other people, you know? That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. And if people like, you know, if people like the offer, whether, you know, whether we're talking to somebody who is not single or not, if in our case, pretty much everybody knows someone who is, and they like the idea. And so they share it with their friends. And so, you know, that's, it's a testament of the market demand for what you have and whether or not you landed on something that people really like. And so it's almost best to go out there with very little advertising to truly see, do they like it? Do they want to share it? Are people going to use this? So when you do start paying for advertising, you're not just throwing money down the drain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel like you are in a great position to just really, truly A and B test. This is a great city to do that in, to market, because literally Austin, yeah, if y'all have never been here, you should come. But we are literally a melting pot of personalities, and people from around the world move here. Isn't the statistic now, it's like 1500 people a week or more move here. Like, it's just outrageous how much we're growing. And so you're in a perfect market to be able to figure out what works and what doesn't and get that feedback. And I really, really hope people take away from this conversation how important it is to listen to the community around you when you're creating a product or a service, because that's what's going to keep you going, is hearing what does and does not work. Brooke, thank you so much for coming on today. Where can people find you online?
So online, I'm obviously on LinkedIn from a professional standpoint. You can find me on Twitter at Wapsh Out. So my last name, so difficult, but it's W-A-U-P-S-H Out. Mm-hmm. But also within the Swoovie social media. So we're on Facebook, on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Get Swoovie. And within all of those channels, you can hear about how we're involved in the community and, you know, different parties that we're having, that we're just trying to bring together people with like-minded interests and connect them with some of our community partners as well.
Amazing. And we, for those of you listening, we'll put all of those links in the show notes to connect with Brooke and Swoovie. Thank you so much for coming on today. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
No, I think that's it. Just know that I am, and the Swoovie team is very open to feedback. We love feedback. We know we're small and growing. And so reach out at any point, just give us your honest opinion and help us continue to go from here.
Amazing. And to grow off of that, we love feedback too. So that's how you keep not only Brooke's business going, but my business going, is by rating, review, subscribing, telling your friends, tell your friends, tell your friends, tell your friends, because that is what keeps us going every single day. And I hope y'all have an amazing rest of your week. Keep killing it with whatever you're working on. You are amazing. You're going to keep doing amazing things, and we will see you guys next week. Bye, y'all. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode, y'all. I had such a great time talking to you about your business goals and how to keep killing it every day as a first-time entrepreneur. If you didn't know, this show is a production of My Business 99 in St. Clair and is currently recorded in Austin, Texas. If you'd love to be a part of my show or to have more information, head to 99stclair.com/podcast to get involved.